The Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come and join me if they will. I'm not sure if it came up again. Nope. The jar didn't come. Can we use the can? Is this okay? I'm sorry about that. There we go. We'll go find it. It's got to be back there somewhere. Thank you so much. Okay, so today's stories, there's so many good stories in today's readings from the Bible, it's hard to pick. But the one I'd like to talk with you about is about the little boy Samuel. He was a little boy. His mom had him kind of miraculously after years and years of wanting to have a baby. Finally, she was able to have a baby. She was so thrilled. She was so excited. She said, "God, you gave me this baby. I'm going to give him back to you when he's old enough. He's going to work for you." And she brought him back to the temple where Eli was, and she dedicated him there to the Lord. She literally said, "This will be the place where you live now. This will be the place where you work now. You're going to learn from Eli the priest, and you're going to grow up here." And every year she would come back, and she'd have the outfit he had to wear to do service in the temple. It's kind of something kind of like this. She would make a new one for him every year so that as he was growing up, he always had one that fit. Wasn't that sweet? So Samuel was there working in the temple, and he actually was asleep in the temple when one day God called to him. "Samuel, Samuel," he says. And he goes, oh, I better go. And he runs to Eli, who's sleeping in a different room, and he goes, "Here I am." And Eli goes, "But I didn't call you. Go back to bed." "Oh, okay." So he goes back to bed, and then all of a sudden he hears, "Samuel. It must be Eli calling me." And he runs to see Eli, and he goes, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli goes, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." "Okay." Goes back to bed. Then Samuel, he runs to Eli. He says, "You called me. I'm sure you called me, right?" And Eli says, "Oh, it's the Lord calling you. It's God talking to you." So the next time God calls you, you say to God, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And God calls Samuel once again, and Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Isn't that kind of cool? And that's the beginning of the work he would do. He was called in what we call a prophet. He was someone who God would speak to, and then he would teach God's people what they needed to know. Isn't that kind of cool? So that was Samuel's job and Samuel's calling. Isn't that neat that he got to do that? Okay. Now, we Lutherans have a really cool understanding of calling. We believe that everybody gets a call. It's not just pastors. It's not just choir members. It's not just one or two people from church, but everybody gets a call. Everybody. And Luther said, isn't that kind of cool? I like that too. And Luther said, you have a lot of callings. So you have to stop and think, I have several things that God is calling me to do and to be. Okay, so here's an example. Luther would say, anybody here a brother or a sister? Anybody here, brothers, sisters? Okay, so if you're a brother or sister, you have a calling to be a sister or a brother. Anybody here, a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa? Okay, and so they all have callings to be moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Isn't that kind of cool? That's just one kind of calling. Okay, anybody here ever worked in healthcare? Healthcare? Okay, look at all the people. Can you see them? How many? How about people that are teachers? We got teachers. We got lots of teachers, right? Okay, how about someone who has built beautiful things like our building? Anybody worked with building and keeping a building? Okay, we got some. Yep, there we got some. Okay, how about, what's a good, another wonderful one? How about somebody that has maybe been a leader who's taken care of other people, like leaders in the church, leaders in the community? Got some leaders? Don't be hesitant. You guys are leaders. Okay. So Luther would say, you have all those callings. Isn't that kind of cool? Now, Samuel's calling was to be a prophet and a leader in his community. Who knows what your special calling is, but God gives it in very wonderful ways. Sometimes God calls to us so we can hear, and we hear God call us to do something. Sometimes it's a friend who will say, you know, you're awfully good at this. Have you ever thought about doing this? So for instance, maybe your teacher says, you know, you're so good at encouraging other people. Could you encourage this person to help them read too? Isn't that kind of neat? So that's a calling. So sometimes it's something outside of us, someone outside of us that recognizes we've got something we can really do, and then they invite us to do it. Sometimes it's something inside. Like, does anybody here want to, let's see, be an artist? Got any artists? Okay, we got some artists. Okay, how about musicians? Got some musicians? Okay, how about doctors, nurses? Okay, how about teachers? Okay. How about, let's see, what's another? Oh, astronaut. Anybody, we got some astronauts? Okay, cool. And how about President of the United States? All right, I knew we had some presidential candidates. That's wonderful. Okay, so think about this. You have callings. You have both the things inside you that God built into you. Our psalm would have said God actually knitted into you. Isn't that kind of cool? You were being knit in your mama's womb. God was putting you together and making you a special person. Isn't that kind of cool? So those are all things that we understand. You and I are called by God, just like Samuel was called by God. And we're called to listen. And we're called to listen and hear with the things we love. And we're called to listen to the people who love us, who tell us wonderful things that we should be thinking about becoming. Maybe if you're going to be an astronaut, would you like to be a scientist? Yeah, okay, cool. And maybe if you're going to be a great leader of the United States, you might study law or you might study all kinds of other things so that you can put those things together and help other people. But in all things, I think, most fun part is God wants you to enjoy being who you are. Because God made you, and God made you special and delightful, and would like for you to enjoy being that person God made you. Isn't that kind of cool? So we want to be listening. And I do thank you so much for coming up and listening to me. You are so kind. I'm going to invite you to go with Miss Sandy to Sunday school if that's where you're headed. And otherwise, we get to go back and sit down. And thank you very much. All throughout this time of Epiphany, we're going to be talking a little bit about being called by God. We're going to be talking about our callings. In fact, it's kind of appropriate to be talking about callings right when we're in the middle of getting our new church year underway and trying to figure out what is God calling us, all of us, to be and to do together as well as individually the things that God weaves into us. I love it that the image in Psalm 139 knits. And I have to share something that I heard on a podcast about these readings. I thought was so cute. He was talking, there was a man who was talking to his Bible study group, and there was someone there knitting a beautiful Norwegian sweater, and you know how elegant and you know hard to do that is. So you can knit a Norwegian sweater, but only God can knit a Norwegian. Isn't that wonderful? And you sit there and you go, of course, isn't that neat that we are woven together? Our desires, our life, our interests, our passions, our abilities, woven together by God, knit into a beautiful pattern that's unique to each of you. And yet God, thank you God, has called all of you together to this place. Now maybe you're a guest today, and thank you so much for being a guest with us. And maybe you're a member, long time, you've been here since this congregation began. Thank you for being with us. And maybe you're a brand new member and you're just kind of getting your feet wet and trying to figure out, what do we do here? And thank you for being with us. Each one called by God, gathered together, special gifts that are shared, special gifts that are offered, your gift of hospitality. I am very proud of that this congregation welcomes and offers hospitality. Thank you. You do a good job. I'm also very proud of our kids. We have wonderful kids here. You saw how wonderful our kids are, but our young adults as well. And I love our confirmands and our youth ministry team folk. They are just wonderful people. You've got to be proud of what wonderful people you are helping to raise up in faith. So as we talk today about the callings, we hear two beautiful call stories. You heard the one from Samuel's story, where he's called to become the prophet that he will be, and he was so important to Israel. He did amazing things and got them through really tough times. But you also got to hear, which I thought was kind of cute, the sort of sarcastic call, that, or at least Nathaniel's sarcasm when he's called. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, he says? Can anything good possibly come out of Nazareth? And his friend, you know, no harm, he just says, come and see. You got to see this man. We have found the Messiah, he says. We've found the one that Moses promised us, and he has come. And it's time for you to come and see him, Nathaniel. And Nathaniel, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then when he meets Jesus seems to know him from the top down. And Nathaniel's amazed. How did you get to know me? How do you know who I am? How does he know? He's God. He knows you and me from here to there, right? And from there to there. He knows us. He knows us. And so he knows Nathaniel. And Nathaniel, of course, is so impressed that he has spotted Nathaniel before. And he goes, oh, okay. You've got to be somebody special to be able to do that. And Jesus says, that's nothing, Nathaniel. Wait and see what you're going to see. The amazing things, even the angels of God, the messages of God coming down and going up, the very visible prayers, the speech between us, that's what you will see. Isn't that amazing? And so he invites Nathaniel, and Nathaniel does follow him. You and I also were invited, and we were invited by name, and we were invited in some place that looks a little bit like this, likely, wherever you were baptized. If you were baptized here, it looked just like this. And if you were baptized elsewhere, a baptismal font with a little bit of water and the calling of God. God speaking to you, God calling you to be the person that you were meant to be. Our baptismal calling is truly that. It begins a life, a whole wonderful, fulfilling life, where we become the person that God knit together in our mother's womb, began the process, equipped for all kinds of wonderful work and all kinds of wonderful delights in this world. And so you and I are called to be the people that we are. And, as I've said, you and I were called to this place, too. We belong here, together, working together. God, I believe, looks at all of you and sees the beautiful gifts that God has put into you, woven into you, the design, right? And says, okay, I need a group like that at St. Andrews. who's going to bless Oshkosh, and who knows more places, many more places, blessed by this wonderful group assembled in this corner of Oshkosh. When we remember that we were called, and when we remember that we are called, we listen for what He'll have us do and where we'll go this year together. It's not only, of course, the mission that we accomplish. That's wonderful. But there's another part to this that's very important. And that's that you will go together with each other through whatever challenges and adventures and struggles and sorrows, and I hope many, many joys that 2018 will bring. Going together is a very, very important part of God's mission, or He wouldn't have sent Jesus to walk together with us. We hear from John's gospel today, so He's the one that is the Word that became flesh. He's God's spoken word of welcome, spoken word of connection, spoken word of rescue, that we might be together with God, dwells with us. That means stays right here and walks alongside. But one of the things that I learned again in these readings I thought was very helpful was the other side of the story. When Samuel is called, did you hear what they said about the word of the Lord was rare in those days and visions were not common? What's that all about? Well, Martin Luther often talked about how there was a way that God seems to hide, hidden in Scripture, hidden in the people around us. God seems to hide sometimes, and we think, I haven't heard anything from God lately. What do I do? How do I get back connected with God? And I think what is one of the answers anyway is what Samuel does. He listens. You listen through the word that you hear. You listen through the songs that we sing. You listen through the prayers that you offer. You listen. And you let God come to be with you in all the ways God means to be there. But Luther had that understanding that sometimes it seems like God just doesn't make a noise. God is quiet. And we'd so much like to hear Him. And look at how our world is always noisy. There's beeps and boops. I can't get over all the technological beeps and boops we've got now, quite apart from simply the peeps and the chirps of our own kids or our neighbors or the dog or whatever. We have so much going on. But Luther said sometimes it seems like God is quiet. Sometimes God is in the very silence that we struggle with. It's paradoxical, isn't it? He's here, whether we know it or not. And so that's another way that you and I walk through this world and this year together so that we can remind each other of the ways that God is here and God continues to be here. When one of us is struggling, or one of us is lonely, or one of us is grieving, another of us will be there, showing up, so that there's a good reminder, God shows up. God is with us. So a part of our calling is to be the people who accompany as well as listen. The people who walk alongside as well as try to hear what God is up to. And if it feels sometimes like vision is rare and the word of the Lord too scarce, we'll turn to each other. We'll keep on listening together and find out that God is right here. In Jesus' name, amen.